In memory of Alice Astor Pleydell Bouverie. That is a very long inscription on my stone. I'm remembered by these names. I was christened as an Astor, and I took the name Pleydell Bouverie when I married for the fourth and final time in my life. A woman always took her husband's name in my day. I believe it's somewhat different these days. Well, Alice is the only name that is truly my own. I was named Ava Alice Muriel Astor for my mother, Ava Lowell Willing. I chose to go by Alice early in life. You know, names are funny things. They can individualize and set one apart from the rest, but they can also brand one and indicate that someone belongs to another person. Many women of my time and class are remembered by who they were married to and what social circles they were affiliated with. We upper-class, turn-of-the-century women absorb names as sponges do water. Edith Wharton, whose aunt is buried in this cemetery also, said the following in her novel, The House of Mirth. It is so easy for a woman to become what the man she loves believes her to be. Yet I digress. You came here to hear my history, not my ramblings. Well, I was born on July 7th, 1902, in Manhattan, New York. My parents were Colonel John Jacob Astor IV and Miss Ava Lowell Willing. I was the grandchild of William Blackhouse Astor and the famous Caroline Lena Skirmerhorn. My grandmother was often called the Mrs. Astor. During the late 19th century, she was the leader of Manhattan's social elite. It was she who decided who was in and who was out of high society. She was definitely someone who you definitely did not want to cross. My older brother was Vincent Astor, a rather troubled, an awkward-looking fellow. He had a rough relationship with my mother. She was known to lock him in the closet if he misbehaved. My mother was a fiery woman, another Astor you did not want to cross. I lived with my mother for most of my childhood. You see, in 1909, my parents divorced, which married couples simply did not do back then, though I divorced plenty in my day. After the divorce, my mother whisked me away to London. My father married another woman who was younger, younger even than my brother Vincent. Unfortunately, my father died on the Titanic in 1912, leaving his new and pregnant wife behind. My childhood was quite comfortable. I spent most of it across the pond and had an unparalleled education in England. Then came adulthood, and with adulthood, marriages. My first marriage took place on July 24th, 1924. I married Prince Sergei Platonovich Obolensky at the Savoy Chapel in London. And it was the highlight of the social scene that summer. We had two children together, a daughter, Princess Sylvia Obolensky, and a son, Ivan. Both of them are buried here near me. I divorced Sergei in 1932 and married Raimon von Hofmannsthal in 1933. He was a romantic, charming, and kind Austrian gentleman from a renowned literary family. We married in Newark, New Jersey, which I should have recognized as a bad omen. During this marriage, I had a brief affair with Sir Frederick Ashton, was a talented English choreographer. The affair lasted from 1936 to 1937. Ashton and I never married. And I divorced Raymond in 1939. A year later, I married yet again, this time to Mr. Philip John Harding. One would think that after two failed marriages, a woman would learn. Well, you must understand that back then, it was very rare for a woman not to marry. And unless I wanted to be a spinster, well, I had to act quickly. After all, I was getting older. But thinking back on it, who really knows? Maybe the life of a spinster would have suited me. There would have been no pressure to marry, and I could have been more unabashedly myself. What a concept. Well, anyway, dear Philip, he was a journalist from England who, at the time of our marriage, served in the British Army. Of course, marriage didn't last. Lo and behold, we divorced in 1945, and I married again, for the last time now, to David Pleydell Bouverie. He was the grandson of the 5th Earl of Radnor and a gifted architect. We divorced in 1952. Thankfully and finally, I had sense enough at that point to stop marrying. I always had an incredible interest in and love of the arts. Looking back, I think I was more taken with art than with any of the men that I married. During my life, while I dabbled in painting and sculpture, I adored dance overall. I suppose if I were alive today, I would have been encouraged to practice the arts, but in my time, women were educated in the arts just enough to appear knowledgeable and desirable to a man. So I was not a practitioner of the arts. I was, however, a great patron of the arts. Again, perhaps if I were a spinster, I could have danced and danced and danced. Oh, well. On July 19th, 1956, I died of a stroke in my apartment in Manhattan. I was 54 years old. My mother, Ava, outlived me by 2 years. Vincent outlived me by 3. In the afterlife, I have learned that my brother Vincent and my son Ivan gave some money of mine to the Northern Duchess Health Center's building fund. The main lobby and waiting room in the new wing and a bedroom for patients were constructed in my memory. I've loved sharing memories from my life with you today. I feel that memories just breathe life into history. And remembering my own history has given me new life. Oh, thank you so much for listening.